This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, a full-hour drama adapted from one of J.B. Priestley's most compassionate novels, Angel Pavement. Today's script is by Brainerd Duffield and Emerson Crocker. And as intermission commentator, the nationally known author and radio personality, John Kieran. Mr. Kieran's commentary was recorded in New York earlier this week. Here then, Angel Pavement by J.B. Priestley.
That's it. There she is.
Yes, Captain. There's London. Just as I remembered.
You have traveled far, Mr. Coolsby. And tonight you come home, huh?
Yes, but not for long, Captain. A fellow likes me prefers to keep moving. Oh, I was born and brought up in this city. But I don't have much use for them here. Not lively enough for me.
You think they all go to sleep in London, huh?
That's it, Captain. Half asleep, most of them.
Yes, you make plenty of money here, Mr. Coolsby. Be rich, eh?
Oh, I'll pick up a bit, I dare say. There goes Big Ben. What a place. Look at it. Maybe I was a fool to stay away so long.
You think so?
Oh, of course I had reasons not to come back too soon. But a man can do well here. Only takes a bit of cleverness.
Sure, that's right. Oh, there's London Bridge, Mr. Coolsby. You come to cabin for last farewell drink, eh?
Ah, right you are. Always a pleasure to help you empty your bottle, Captain. fill them up, Captain. That's the way. this is an occasion to celebrate. James Goldsby's come home to transact a bit of business.
And what sort of business is it to be,
eh? Has to do with the timber trade, you know. I mean to hook up with somebody in the same line. Out there in some dingy side street, up a rickety flight of stairs, there's an old-fashioned businessman in an old-fashioned office who's going to have me for a partner. Ha ha.
Good honest business. Ha ha. That's fine.
Honest? Did I say honest? Oh, come now, Captain. What about another drink, eh? Here's to my new partner, wherever, whoever he may be.
Good morning, Miss Batfield.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Good morning, Turgis.
Morning, Mr. Smith.
Bit nippy these mornings, isn't it? Real autumn weather. Ah, Turgis, I need a new blotting paper on this desk.
Right away, Mr. Smith.
Yes, and keep the ink pots filled up like a good chap. It looks more businesslike. Hello. Whose bowler hat is that? Don't tell me Mr. Dershingham's in the office at this hour.
Yes, Mr. Smith, and some stranger with him. He asked particularly to see you the moment you came in.
Well, upon my word, I've been with Twigg and Dershingham 12 years, and this is the first time, the very first time, mind you, that Mr. Dershingham ever arrived before me.
Bad sign, if you ask me. Business has been on the rocks for months. Bankruptcy, that's what it is. Chap in there with him looks like a bailiff of some sort.
Looked more like a pirate to me. Great bristling moustache and a big black cigar, and such swagger to him.
Oh, dear me, I hope not. It'd be hard to find another job at my age.
It'd be hard for any of us these days.
Poor Mr. Dershingham, I'd best go right in.
So, you see, Smith, what this will mean if Mr. Goldsby here can keep us supplied.
Yes, indeed, sir.
Take another look at those veneers and inlays in my sample case. I've got the sole agency for all the Baltic companies, and I can let you have the stuff at prices 40, 50% lower than you've been paying.
Well, it's what we've been needing, Mr. Dashing.
It is, Smith. It is indeed. I don't mind telling you, Mr. Goldsby, things have been pretty slow with us lately.
Oh, we'll soon remedy that. Now, see here, I'll come in as sort of general manager. Don't want a partnership. Can't be bothered.
No.
All I want is my commission.
Well, that's fair enough.
Only it'll have to be a jolly good commission, mind you, because I'm bringing you the business.
Ah, you can count on us, Mr. Goldsby. It's a tremendous stroke of luck you're coming here. How did you happen to pick on us, by the way?
I found you in the directory. Twig and Dershingham. Sounded reliable. But the thing that really sold me was the address.
The address?
Only in London would you find a street called Angel Pavement. Ha ha! Isn't that a devil of a name?
Angel Pavement? Oh, well, now that you mention it, I... yes, I suppose it is. Hmm? Eh, Smith?
Yes, sir, yes, I suppose it is.
Come on, Matfield. It's time you held up your end of the conversation.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, most of the girls here at the residence club rattle on all the time about their marvelous jobs and the glamorous men they work for. Well, you never tell us a thing.
Well, there's nothing to tell. It's a very dreary job, actually. When I want excitement, I read a novel about the South Seas. Come on, have some more tea.
Thanks.
Here are the biscuits. Go on, help yourself.
Well, there must be somebody romantic or worth talking about.
Not a Twig and Dursingham.
What about Twig?
Twig's been dead for years. And now we have the last of the glorious Dursinghams. At least I hope he is.
Not good looking?
Oh, heavens no. Large, pink, 45, and rather pompous.
Oh, dear. Isn't there anyone young?
Oh, there's Turgis. Junior clerk. Really the office boy. You know the type. Shabby, thinnish, drooping chin. Never known to comb his hair or change his collar. Hangs about moping all day, thinking heaven knows what unpleasant thoughts.
Ghastly. Mm. Well, you'll just have to look outside the office, Matfield.
Of course, there is the new one, Mr. Goldsby. I'm not sure about him. He's bold and rather coarse, but he's traveled and he's done things. He isn't afraid of his own shadow.
And then he's the one for you, obviously.
Oh, I can think of nothing less likely. Oh, Morrison, how much chance have we got? Most of us, I mean, of ever escaping this female residence hall with its tiresome rules and regulations.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm 30, Morrison. I'm getting desperate. Even when a creature like Goldsby comes along, I half consider him because he's got a bit of color.
Well, he doesn't sound too gruesome.
You know, the only man in my office I have the least respect for is old Smee, the bookkeeper. He spends his entire life trotting from his tidy little house to his even tinier little office. He's perfectly happy. It's hard to imagine being happy with a life like that. But I'm sure he is.
Of course he is, my dear. Lots of people just like that. Give me another cup of tea.
Some off for George. He's going to be late again. You're a bit late yourself tonight, Dad.
Yes, I know. We had a funny day.
Now then, Edna Smith, don't sit there dreaming. Pass the potatoes and the greens. Oh, careful, they're hot. Oh, you've given me too much mutton, Dad. Take some back.
All right, Mother.
Here, Edna, you want more than that.
No, I don't.
Well, you're going to have it, Miss. None of this silly starving yourself, a girl your age.
Mutton tastes good, Mother. I was going to tell you that...
Oh, mind your hand, Dad. That's hot. Pass the gravy, Edna.
A funny thing happened at the office.
It's good, isn't it? But no thanks to that Louise Logan next door. Came charging in like a fire brigade just when I was getting dinner. It drove me balmy, going on about her junior.
Oh, he's awful, he is.
Still, all the boys can't look like Ronald Marlborough, can they, Edna?
Who's he? One of those movie chaps?
Darling Ronald, they write, I shall die if you don't send me your photo. Yours truly, Edna Smith.
Oh, Mother.
I must say I call that a silly sort of game.
Well, girls are silly, if you ask me. Good job for the men they are. There, dishes are done. Got your pipe, have you?
Yes, Mother.
You're an old home bird, you are. Well, thought you had something to tell me. Don't tell me you got a rise in salary.
I thought this morning I was in for a rise outside. I tell you, Edie, when I went into Dershingham's office, my heart was in my boots.
Poor Dad, always looking into the middle of next week and seeing how black it's getting.
But it worked out fine. A new fellow came into the firm, a Mr. Goldsby. Sort of loud-spoken, you know, but a good head for business. He said we might all be making double money soon.
Well, I never. I didn't tell you, but Ethel Baker's sister, the one who reads the cards, told me only last Tuesday, money and luck coming through a dark stranger. Is this man dark-complexioned?
Well, I never noticed what color he was.
No matter, so long as he's doubling your salary.
Oh, hold on now. I haven't got it yet, so don't start spending it, my girl.
Oh, Dad, I suppose you'll want to put it all into insurance or the National Savings
Center. Yes, I do.
Oh, that's a miserable way to be spending money.
Well, you fritter it away as it is on theaters and trips to the seaside and giving parties for those whiskey-drinking cousins of
don't
yours.
Don't say a word against Fred Mitty. He knows how to enjoy himself anyway and amuse himself.
Well, I don't want to amuse myself. I like a quiet life and
bit of fun never did anyone any harm. Here, let's have a bit of music to cheer us up. Which dial starts it? I never can remember.
That one.
Well, I don't know how much cheering up that'll do. One of those classical pieces.
It's beautiful, Edie.
That's what you like, Dad, isn't it? So, I'll just slip down to Mitty's while you enjoy it.
Run along, Mother. I'm all right here. Happy as can be. Listen to that now. Isn't it grand?
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Goldsby.
Good morning,
good
Mr.
morning,
Goldsby.
Mr. Goldsby.
Everybody working hard? Ah, that's the way. Shoulders to the wheel. Full steam ahead. Where's my mail, Smith?
Here's this morning's lot, sir.
Good, good. Yeah. Better get in another girl to help Miss Matfield. Business is brisk, and we've got to keep pace, you know.
Well, you can count on us, Mr. Goldsby.
Fine, fine. The minute these orders are turned into solid business, you all get a bonus, or I'm not Jimmy Goldsby. Mm.
Thank you very much, sir.
Married man, aren't you, Smith?
Oh, I am, yes, sir. A wife and two children, boy and girl.
All I've got's a girl. Expect her over soon from Paris. Been in school there. Your girl take much notice of you, Smith?
Not much, sir, no. Seems they don't nowadays.
Mine doesn't. Willful little devil. Spoilt all her life. Too good looking, that's her trouble. Doesn't take after her father, you know.
Oh, yes.
Turgis.
Yes, Mr. Goldsby?
Get hold of the Anglo-Baltic people for me right away. Tell them the orders are piling up. We expect shipments right on time.
Yes, sir, right away.
And, Turgis, I'd like to see you perk up a little. You slouch around here looking like nothing on earth. What's the matter with you?
Nothing, sir.
Something on your mind?
No, sir.
Not married, are you?
No, sir.
No, I thought not. Got a girl?
No, sir.
I'm not surprised. Well, spruce up or you'll never get one.
Yes, sir.
And how are you today, Miss Matfield? Did you type up those letters?
Here they are, sir.
Oh, that's the style. Hello. Is this exactly what I said?
Well, matter of fact, it isn't quite. I changed was into were to make it more grammatical.
Very kind of you, Miss Matfield.
Oh, I don't pretend to be particularly marvelous at grammar, but it is one of the few things they taught me.
I'm much obliged. Did anyone ever tell you that your eyes were particularly marvelous, Miss Matfield?
No, Mr. Goldsby. I'm afraid not.
Well, they should have. I'll just take these grammatical letters away with me. Mr. Dershingham in his office, I suppose?
He is.
What business has he got trying to be funny, making personal remarks about people?
He's a bit forward, isn't he?
Do you like him?
Well, I don't really dislike him.
He's got a nasty tone of voice sometimes.
I'd hate to cross his path.
There, you two, get on with your work.
Yes, Mr. Smee.
I like Mr. Dursingham much better. He's a real gentleman, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. He's a real gentleman.
Capital. Capital. I can't tell you how pleased I am with the way things are looking up since you came. You see, Gillespie, I wasn't cut out to be a man of affairs. I was brought up to be a man of leisure. It's only by accident I find myself in the world of commerce at all.
I knew you were no businessman directly I set eyes on you.
Hmm? Yes. Yes, I wish I had your sense of humor. By the by, Mrs. Dursingham and I are giving a little dinner party on Tuesday next, and we do wish that you'd come.
It's an honor.
There'll be some other people I think you'd like to know, but we won't make it too formal. Just a black tie, you know? Black tie.
What do you mean? Wear a dinner jacket?
That's the idea. Eightish then, next Tuesday. Number 7, Barkfield Gardens.
Right you are, Mr. Dashingham. I'll be there with bells on.
My dear, will you take this puff to the space between my shoulder blades?
Certainly, my pet. Yes.
Very difficult without an upstairs maid, Charles. As a girl, I always had one.
Yes, my dear, and it is no fun either, being my own valet and butler.
Did you fill the decanters and set out the cigarette boxes?
Oh, yes, my pet, yes. Lit the fire, too. Really looks quite cozy down there. Help me with these cufflinks.
Cozy? This awful house? Oh, Charles, I wish we could manage a place in the country.
Well, my dear, perhaps we can soon. That's why we're having Goldsby to dinner. He's making us prosperous.
Oh, I suppose so, but I'm at my wit's end about the whole evening. Cook has been cross all day, and the new maid Agnes is so stupid. Well, there's bound to be some awful confusion at the table. Good heavens, there's the door.
Yes, Goldsby, I suppose. Wouldn't you know the blighter would come early?
Oh, I do hope he gets along with Major Trape.
Yes, the Major is a bit stuffy.
Your cousin Lydia's a problem, too.
Yes, I know, my dear, I know.
Why doesn't Agnes go to the door? Oh, Charles, my head has begun to ache already.
Well, I'll go myself now. Don't you worry, Margaret. Everything's going to go swimmingly. Now, you'll see. Mr. Gillespie, I'd like you to meet my cousin, Lydia Dursingham.
Great pleasure, I'm sure.
How do you do?
And this is Major Trape. Went to my old school, you know.
How are you, Major?
Oh, yes, Dursingham and I are old schoolfellows. Some splendid chaps in our class.
A martini's anyone? A Mr. Gillespie?
No, thank you.
Did you ever watch Rugger, Gillespie?
You mean football? Haven't seen a match in years.
Really? Can't say I approve this new professional stuff. Dirty business. I mean, selling fellas for money and so on. It's unsporting.
That so?
Oh, certainly. Must be amateurs. Play the game for its own sake. Love of the game. That's the proper English way.
Are you acquainted with Lord and Lady Pagsworth, Mr. Gillespie?
No.
Pity. They're great travellers, you know. Thought perhaps you might have met them.
No.
I saw them at the Trevors on Tuesday. Lady Pagsworth plays and sings divinely. You know the Trevors, don't you?
No.
Really?
Do let me get you another martini, Mr. Gillespie. I'm mixing them myself.
No, thank you. This will be fine.
You don't like them?
Oh, all right. Make me another.
Oh, I'll wager you're getting hungry, aren't you? Oh, you men. Well, dinner will be ready any moment. Now what has happened?
There goes our dinner.
Oh, if you'll excuse me just for a minute.
I'm afraid there's been an accident. I trust nothing has happened to the cutlets.
Sounded to me like the whole works.
I tell you, I don't care. It ain't my fault. I only got one pair of hands.
This is most unfortunate.
Yes, very distressing indeed.
Lydia, is there anything you can do?
Well, if the dinner's completely ruined, I might have a go at making an omelette.
Hope you weren't too hungry.
Starving. Listen to her.
I would stay in this house another minute.
We'll never get our dinner now.
Now, what could that be?
Sounds like the doorbell to me.
Excuse me, someone at the door. I'll just be a moment.
Might be my daughter. Told her she'd better drop around. Arriving tonight from Paris, you know.
Your daughter?
That's right.
Yes, Mr. Goldsby's here. Won't you come in?
Thank you so much. Oh, there you are, Father.
Well, hang me, Lena girl, if I hadn't forgotten all about you a minute ago.
You would. You're a rotten father. I've told you that before.
Have you got a kiss for your old dad now? Ought to have told you, Dashingham. This girl of mine wired she was coming today, but of course she didn't say how or what time.
All right, Father. Nobody wants to hear that. I couldn't stay in that poisonous flat of yours, so I took a taxi, and here I am.
Intended to tell you, Dashingham.
Oh, it's quite all right. Delighted to have her. Here comes my wife now. Margaret, my dear, we have another guest.
How do you do?
It won't be any trouble to lay an extra plate now, will it?
An extra plate? Oh, this is too much. Really, Charles, are you an utter fool?
Margaret, my dear.
Do explain to this man that one just doesn't bring uninvited guests to dinner.
Margaret, control yourself. This is Miss Goldsby.
I don't care who she is. Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I've got such a headache.
I see. Have you had it all evening, or did the sight of me bring it on?
Does that matter?
No, it doesn't. I didn't ask to come here. I wouldn't have if my father hadn't told me to. I must say, I think you're pretty rotten.
Boy, what the blazes is the matter with you, girl?
Well, I didn't want to push myself into her beastly house. I'm going. Father, take me home.
All right. Sorry about this. My fault entirely. Kid's a bit tired. Nervy, you know.
Oh, yes, of course. Traveling, all that, huh?
Yes, go. I hope to heaven I never see either of them again.
Oh, so that's the way it's going to be, is it? All right. See you in the morning, Dershingham. Good night, all.
Oh, Margaret, how could you do it?
I don't care. The man was nearly as bad as his terrible daughter.
Ah, there.
Most distressing.
Oh, quite most distressing.
Well, they were rotten snobs, and it wasn't my fault her beastly dinner got smashed, the old cat. I bet it was the most awful muck, too.
I suppose it was.
And you needn't think it was only me. They didn't like you either. I could see that.
Well, who said they did, young woman? I know all about them. If Dershingham's wife doesn't think we're good enough, let her go on thinking so. Bet she thinks I'm good enough to keep putting some ginger in that half-dead concern of theirs.
You don't mean you're making money for those people.
Now, don't you worry, my girl. The people I'm going to make money for are these people. These two people. Right here. Now, just you keep quiet, Miss Goldsby, and leave everything to me.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of Angel Pavement by J.B. Priestley. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, John Kieran.
J.B. Priestley was born in the north of England in 1894. He began to write when he was at Cambridge University, spent 4 years in the British Army in World War I, has been writing ever since and has turned out many novels, essays, biographies, magazine articles, and plays. He's also been a producer, director, and actor in some of his own plays. This man who has invented so many interesting characters is quite a character himself. He's a literary artist, but there's a good bit of the scientist in him, too. I've heard him talk of relativity, space, time, and other factors in the mathematical and speculative regions where physics and metaphysics overlap. Seems to me that when he wrote Angel Pavement, J.B. Priestley did it in the mood of a laboratory technician at work. He put a section of London life under his literary microscope. We have a close view of the lives and loves, the hopes and habits of an assorted group of mostly middle-class Londoners who work in a business office on a side street, almost a blind alley, that the author ironically calls Angel Pavement. We soon have our feet on the ground there. We know these people. The boy Stanley, whose ambition is to be a detective and trail those who little suspect that he sees every move they make. Turgis, the unkempt, discontented junior clerk who dreams of Arabian Nights in which he plays the caliph. Mr. Smith, chief accountant and office manager, honest, industrious, but a real timid soul in fear of everything and everybody. All he wants is to protect his home and family, keep food on the table and a roof over their heads, and always fearful that the roof will fall in. There's Dursingham, the head of the firm. Not a bad chap, but rather on the stuffy side. Fancies himself as a man who knows his business and is not to be put upon. When his wife entertains, dinner clothes are worn. Then there is the intelligent, competent, cold, and somewhat cynical Miss Matfield, an important figure in the office and in the story. These people might have kept the noiseless tenor of their ways, except that a total stranger, a Mr. Goldsby, suddenly moves into their circle. He moves in and takes over, firmly and not too gently. Manners and morals are nothing in his life. The business rules or social customs that bind others are no restraint on him. He knows what he's after, and he goes for it steadily and ruthlessly. Among these weaklings, he is a force. That's why the cold Miss Matfield gradually warms to him. The effect of this force on the people who walk Angel Pavement to earn their daily bread is the story. At the end of the book, Mr. Priestley didn't point a moral. He left it to his readers. And today, I leave it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Kieran. Our radio version of Angel Pavement will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
I took this opportunity, Smith, to have a word with you during Mr. Goldsby's absence.
Yes, sir.
He's working at home today, so I thought you and I might have a chance to chat about this business arrangement.
I've been wanting to talk to you, sir. There are one or two things I'd like to know. For instance, what's this arrangement with these foreign people about payments?
Well, I'll be looking into that shortly, Smith, never fear. But right now, Mr. Goldsby talks of wanting his commission in advance, so to speak.
Oh? Do you think that would be wise, Mr. Dersingham? I mean, after all, you've got no guarantee.
You mean the whole thing might be a swindle, huh? Mm. Yes, well, of course, I thought of that. At first, the whole thing seemed fishy to me, and between ourselves, I thought Goldsby himself a terrible outsider at first. But I've gone into it these past few weeks.
And it's all on the up and up, then?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, I'm relieved to hear that, sir.
I even think we might put through some salary rises. Not right now, of course, but very soon.
I hope so, sir. Mrs. Smith has already begun spending money on that expectation.
Yes, my wife is the same way. Mm-hmm. Well, now, about this commission. He won't draw it, of course, until the orders are all signed for, but he wants his money then without waiting for the customers to settle up their accounts. He's rather pressed for cash, it seems.
Ah, I see.
But then with this new stuff on our hands, we can afford to advance him his share. Don't you think?
Well, yes, sir, I suppose we can.
Good. That's settled then. Oh, yes. There's some money in this envelope. I promised to send it round to Goldsby's flat. 4A Carrington Villas. It's in the Maida Vale section.
Yes, I'll see to it, sir. Turgis can go.
Right. And have him insist on a proper receipt. Can't be too careful, you know.
Yes, sir.
By the way, how's the new girl doing, this Miss... what's her name?
Oh, Miss Poppy Sellers, sir. She's doing quite well, sir. If you don't mind my saying so, sir, I'm very pleased that things are going so well for us, sir.
Oh, yes, it does us all good to see things humming.
That's right, sir.
Well, we haven't got a worry in the world, Smith. Not a worry in the world.
I do think you're beastly rude to little Miss Sellers.
Why? What have I done to her?
Oh, you hurt her feelings again this morning. And why, I can't imagine. She's a nice child, really.
What's that to me?
Well, I think she's rather lonely. You and she could be quite good friends. She happens to think that you are something special.
Who's ever considered my feelings in this office?
Oh, here she comes. See? You behave yourself now.
Hello, Mr. Turgis. Here are the notes you wanted. Are they all right?
Let's see. Oh, yes, they're fine. Fine. That's very neat typing, Miss Sellers.
My word. We are coming on, aren't we? What have I done to deserve this?
Deserve what?
Well, I mean, you're being awfully polite for once, Mr. Turgis.
Turgis, I have an errand for you to do.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
Now, take this envelope. It's got money in it. To the address I've written down here. It's for Mr. Goldsby. And here's a receipt to have him sign.
Yes, Mr. Smith.
You needn't come back, of course. Just pop off home.
Well, here's an unexpected outing, eh, Miss Sellers? I wonder what sort of home Mr. Goldsby has.
Well, I can't fancy that Mr. Goldsby having an home at all. Seems an homeless sort of man to me.
I saw you coming. You're from the office, aren't you?
Yes, miss. That's right.
Did you bring the money?
Yes, miss. Here.
Thanks very much. Good day.
Oh, no, no. Wait. I've got a receipt. It's got to be signed by Mr. Goldsby.
Mr. Goldsby isn't here. Besides, I'm his daughter. The money's for me. It's my allowance.
Oh, please, if you would.
Is that the receipt? Good. Sit down.
My, what a handsome flat you have.
You think so? I don't. Smelly old place, simply poisonous. Hand me that. There, I've signed it for you. Oh, I adore having money, don't you? It's beastly when you suddenly find you haven't got and you can't go anywhere or buy anything. What are you staring at?
You.
I know you are, but why? You seem jolly upset about it.
No, it's not that. It's just that...
You don't like my looks, I suppose.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Certainly not that. I mean, you're just about the prettiest girl I've ever spoken to.
Are you serious? What a marvelous thing to say.
I mean it.
Oh, I believe you're pulling my leg. No?
No.
Look here. Give me a cigarette out of that box there. Take one yourself. Now, like this. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a great idea. I'll mix us a cocktail, and then you can help me spend my money. Just because you say such nice things. We'll go to a movie or something, and there's a little cafe not far from here where we can dance. Do you like to dance?
Yes, though I'm afraid I'm not very good at it. But I...
But what? Don't you want to?
Yes, I mean, I'd really love to, but what would your father say?
Oh, we needn't tell him. He's gone off tonight on some mysterious dinner date, left me all alone. I've been so bored all afternoon. He's having a good time somewhere. Why shouldn't we? What do you say?
I say yes. I think it would be wonderful.
Good. I'll mix us a cocktail, and I warn you, it's going to be a real smasher. As for Mr. James Goldsby, whatever he's gone, he can stay there.
Now then, Miss Matfield, what do you say to a liqueur with your coffee, hmm?
Oh, I shouldn't. But, well, all right, I will. I think I'll try a green chartreuse.
Good, good.
Yes.
And, waiter, bring me a double brandy, the best.
Oh, heavens, what a dinner. What do you call that wonderful stuff?
You like the beef stroganoff, then,
huh? Oh, yes. But so much of it. Oh, you know, it's like 15 of my club dinners rolled into one.
Well, it agrees with you. You deserve a good time taking pity on an old rascal like me. Ah, here we are. Happy days.
Happy days.
You know something? I like you. Real style and character. Not like the rest of them down there, Twig and Dershingham.
Oh, dear, I hope not.
It's a wonder you stick it. What's in it for you?
It's a job.
Now, me, I'm the kind that wants to get something out of life, a bit of color and excitement, a bit of danger. Can you understand that?
Yes. Yes, I can.
You're the same way. Too full of fight and fun for them. You're too stylish for Angel Pavement.
Oh. Well, of course I am. I've always thought so.
The first time I saw you, I said, she's alive. Oh? I tabbed you, my girl. You're not like the others. Take that Turgis, for instance.
Oh, no, I'm certainly not like him.
What a miserable specimen. He's eating his heart out for romance. But what girl would ever have him?
Oh, I don't know. Poppy, the new girl. She thinks he's marvelous.
Miss Matfield. Oh, blast it. What's your other name?
Lillian.
Ah, that's better. Now, see here, Lillian. What I mean is, there are lots of wonderful things in the world to be seen, to be done, for anybody who will come alive, who's willing to take a chance on life. I tell you, I've seen some wonders in my time. The pyramids in the desert, the cities of the Orient, little coral islands in the Pacific.
Oh, if one could only get to such places. What I wouldn't give to leave all this behind me. Anything.
I had no idea you felt so strongly about things. Oh, waiter, another liqueur and brandy here.
No, I'd better start getting back to the club, or I'll be locked out.
Oh, it's early yet. And by the way, do you ever get down to Cornwall, Lillian?
Oh, I've been down there twice. Oh, but I adore Cornwall. It's like another world.
I'm thinking of taking a little jaunt down there some weekend. How about coming along, Lillian?
Oh, I'd love to.
Is it a bargain?
Oh, I'm sorry. I spoke without thinking. I didn't realize what you meant.
Oh, the way I look at it, we ought to enjoy ourselves while we're here. I rather thought you'd agree with me.
No, thank you. Sometime, perhaps. No, not now.
I'm disappointed in you, Lillian. Still, I'll ask again sometime in case you'll change your mind.
All right. All right, you do that.
That's it. Laugh and think it over.
I really must be off now.
Well, if you must, you must. Waiter, let me have the bill.
Turgis, I don't know what's come over you lately. A couple of weeks ago, you began taking some pride in your appearance and dressing well and combing your hair.
Is that so, Mr. Smith?
But now you're looking worse than ever. A lad like you ought to look after himself. Even if you do live in lodgings, you could find some interest, a hobby to pass the time. You have no responsibilities, no worries, only yourself to provide for. If you set about it properly, me lad, you might even find yourself a nice girl to walk out with.
Never you mind about girls. Everyone always talking about girls.
Now, see here, Turgis, I don't like to hear you use that tone to me.
I don't care whether you like it or not. I wish you'd all leave me alone. And if you won't, well, you can just go to blazes, that's all.
Well, upon my soul, everyone in this office is behaving strangely. Oh, I'll be glad to get home where at least there's peace and quiet.
You awake, Dad?
Huh? Oh, yes. Yes, I was just
dozing and enjoying the concert, you know.
That's nice. Well, in that case, I think I'll run down to Mitty's. There's a party going, and they asked if I'd come.
Well, getting sort of thick there, aren't you, Edie?
What if I am? No harm in having a little fun.
I don't like to see you acting silly, spending money left and
right. Well, I'd rather be silly than mean, Herbert Smeeth, the way you are, pinching every penny. Some men with a fine rise in salary.
I tell you, I haven't got it yet.
No, but when you do, it'll be the same. Every time I want a little fun or to go to the pictures.
Edie, you know I don't begrudge you anything. It's just that crowd with their parties and drinking.
That's right. Drag Fred and Dot into it.
I tell you, I won't have it. That's what.
All right, Dad. Now I'll tell you something. I'm going out. If you want to know where, I'm going down to Fred's. And I'll come back when I please.
Well, see you come back sober.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie. I didn't mean that. A bit of a joke.
I heard you, Dad. It wasn't a joke. You meant it. There's only one worse thing you could say about me.
I'm sorry, really. I mean, it just sort of slipped out.
I know. But you had no right to be thinking it, even.
I tell you, Edie, I'm sorry.
I'm going now, Dad. Good night.
Oh, dear me, what is this world coming to?
Oh, it's you.
It's me, all right.
Do you want to see my father about something?
No, I don't. I want to see you. Lena.
What do you want to see me about?
Oh, you know, Lena, everything.
You'd better go away. My father'll be coming back soon, any minute.
No, he won't.
How do you know? You don't know anything about it.
I do. I know where he is. He went off in a taxi with Miss Matfield.
You can't come in here.
I'm coming in all the same. There.
How dare you? You get away from me. You've been spying and following me about, haven't you? And writing letters, too. Ridiculous letters.
What if I have? I wanted to see you.
Well, I didn't want to see you, and you ought to have known it. I told you as plainly as I could, I didn't want to see you anymore.
Lena, why don't you?
Because I don't, that's why. Why don't you go away? I don't want you coming, slinking in here. Just because I felt sorry for you once and hadn't anything much to do and was nice to you.
Lena, listen.
I tell you, I won't listen. I don't want to hear. Oh, if you only saw yourself. I didn't want to be rude to you, but you're so silly and stupid.
Lena, please. Please, just listen a minute.
Go away, can't you? What a fool you are.
You listen to me.
Let go of me.
If you knew how much I love you, how lonely I've been, how lonely for someone like you. You danced with me that night. You let me kiss you. Lena, I've been so miserable all of my life, so alone.
Keep your filthy hands off of me, you rotten, dirty pig. Let me go. I hate you. If you touch me again, I'll scream and scream until somebody comes.
All right, you ask for this.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Archie. You're not dead, are you? Not dead. You're hard to kill, your kind. But I'm through with you. I'm cured of loving you. The very sight of you turns my stomach, see? Now it's your turn to keep away from me. You've been lucky tonight, but next time you won't be.
My father, when my father...
He won't do anything. Because you won't dare to tell him. And I wouldn't care if you did. Because I'm through being afraid... I'm not afraid of anything anymore.
Then it will be all right, Mr. Smith.
Yes, as long as you're going to the country for the weekend. Mr. Dersingham's given his permission. You needn't come in tomorrow.
Oh, thank you very much.
I hope you have a pleasant time in Cornwall. It's very beautiful this time of year.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Yes, in fact, everyone is going to have a pleasant time this weekend. I happen to know that Turgis and Miss Sellers have an engagement to see the Policeman's Minstrels.
Oh.
Yes, and I'm going to a symphony concert tomorrow while my wife entertains her cousins.
Of course, I don't know what Mr. Goldsby will be doing. He seldom comes to the office nowadays. I shouldn't be at all surprised if he disappeared altogether one day.
Mr. Goldsby? Well, I don't think he'll do that.
Yes, miss, can I help you?
Has a message been left for me by any chance? Matfield, Lillian Matfield.
Sorry, nothing's been left here.
Are you absolutely certain?
Quite certain.
Oh. That is too bad.
Is there some kind of difficulty?
Well, yes, you see, the gentleman I was supposed to meet, well, he hasn't come, and I've been waiting an hour. Well, could you tell me where the telephones are, please?
Certainly, miss. Next to the refreshment counter, over there.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hello, is Mr. Goldsby there, please? Gone? You mean he's out? Gone for good. Oh, no, that's not possible. You see, I work at his office. I had an appointment with him today. His daughter, too. Oh, I see. All right. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello? Oh, Mr. Smith, I didn't expect to catch you at the office. That's right, Miss Matfield. No, I changed my mind about the weekend. I was just wondering if Mr. Goldsby was there. I thought perhaps he might want me to do some letters. Oh, that's what happened then. I should think so. Well, it pretty well does for all of us, doesn't it? I'll come in again on Monday. No, I'm all right, Mr. Smith. I almost made a terrible mistake, that's all. But I'm all right now. I'm all right now.
Well, Miss Matfield, Monday then, you're quite sure you're all right?
Well, now, what the deuce was all that about, Smith?
Miss Matfield, sir, she said she'd almost made a terrible mistake.
Nobody's day, is it, Smith?
But this about Mr. Goldsby, sir, I'm really confused.
Well, there's his letter, Smith. Read it again. Cleared out. He's hooked us. Understand? He got that whopping commission, saddled all those orders on us, and now when his Baltic firm has doubled their prices, the rotten swine runs out on us.
But it isn't fair. Can't we cancel those orders?
Oh, I've tried. No good. We've signed contracts, and we've got to make delivery at the prices Goldsby promised.
But what are you going to do, Mr. Dashing?
Nothing. Finish up. Buy what we can, deliver what we can, then... I don't know. Bankruptcy, I suppose. It's hard times for us both, eh, Smith?
Yes, sir, it is. And after all these years in harness,
Yes, well, I don't look forward much to going home, I can tell you. Oh, I don't know about you, Smith, but I want a drink. It's been a long time since I wanted one so badly. Let's have one while we can still pay for it, hmm?
Yes, sir.
Yes, will you lock up the shop and have a few on me?
Back so early. Here's Fred and Doc.
Yeah, you've been missing some party, old man. Some party. Now, what you need is a drink.
I've been working hard. All I want is some peace and quiet. I'll say good night.
What do you mean, Dad?
Well, nighty-night, Pa. Nighty-night. Don't let us keep you up.
I'm not going to bed just yet. But you're going home.
Here, Dad, what a way to talk.
Well, really.
Here's your drink, old sport.
Get out of here. Go on, get out. I mean it. Get out, all of you. There. There, that'll show them.
Now, Mr. High and Mighty, I hope you're satisfied. You've driven them away. They'll never come back.
No, Edie. Edie, girl.
Dad, what is it? What's happened? You sick?
I thought he looked funny when he came in, Ma.
You're all white. Edna, can't you get your father a glass of water? You sit down, Dad.
Edie, I've lost my job.
Dad, you don't mean it. You're trying to frighten me.
No, no, no. It's all up with Twig and Dershigan. Goldsby skipped out.
Oh, poor Dad.
It never seemed like I wanted very much, Edie, just to know the house was ours and the garden and all of us here together. A bit of music sometimes, but, oh, it seems I might as well have been wishing for the moon.
Dad, you stop that. You'll get another job right away.
Oh, no, 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 not at my age.
I can work, too. You needn't think I have to be kept in idleness. I'll go out charring first.
I don't want you out charring. I didn't marry you and work and save and plan so you could go out charring.
We'll manage somehow. Oh, Dad, why have I been so foolish?
Oh, Dad.
Now, don't you start in too, miss.
Oh, dear, I can't help laughing. I don't know which looks the worst, Dad. You or this room.
Nothing as bad as that cousin of yours when I threw him out.
Dad, I'm really angry with you, smashing up things this way. Poor Fred. But he did look funny.
Edie.
Yes, Dad.
I'm hungry all of a sudden.
Should think you might be. I'll get something going right away. Better get washed up, Dad. You're a sight.
My eyeglasses fell off and I'm afraid I stepped on them.
Never mind. We'll get you a new pair. And you'll be surprised how bright the world looks through them.
Oh, Edie. Edie, you're an old beauty.
Beauty, am I? You'll have me crying next. Come along, Edna. We've got work to do.
Charles, is that you? Charles?
Yes. Yes, it's me, my dear.
Oh, really, Charles? You might have called me. I've been waiting and worrying for hours.
I'm sorry, Pongo.
Pongo? Why, you haven't called me that in years. Have you been drinking?
Well, I've had a sort of celebration. Yes.
What do you mean? What is there to celebrate?
The funeral of Twig and Dersingham. It's finished. Ruined. Done for. Goldsby's cleared out and left us.
But surely it can't be that serious. I mean, even if he's gone...
Oh, yes, it is, my dear.
Surely you can do something. Go to the police.
No, my dear, no, no. He's swindled us in a perfectly legal manner.
Oh, I knew no good would come of that awful man. He hated us after that night, didn't he? Oh, Charles, I let you down. I let you down badly.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, my dear.
Well, I'll do what I can to make it up to you. I've got some money of my own left. Not much, but some. 1,200, I think. We'll give this place up and find a smaller one, and I'm sure Father can help us out.
Oh, Margaret. Margaret, I'm so tired. I've made such a mess of things.
You sit there and rest. I'm going to make us some tea. No, 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 don't call the servants. I'll make it myself. But before I go, I want to ask you one question.
Hmm?
Do you love me?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do, but I don't feel this is the time to say so.
Of course it is. This is the time. Now is the time it counts.
Yeah, bless you. We'll be all right, Margaret. Won't we?
Of course we will, my dear. Of course we will.
now. Well, sir, there goes Lunnon. Ugly old town, isn't it?
Yes, I guess so. Bit ugly myself if it comes to that.
Sugden's my name. Have a cigar.
Thanks. Goldsby's mine. This is my daughter, Lena.
Hello.
Glad to know you. You two ever been to South America before?
No. One of the few spots I've missed. I like a bit of color, so I thought I'd give it a look-see.
Don't blame you. I don't like London myself. Too much of this ho-ho-ho and striped trouser stuff. I think they're pretty smart, too.
Oh, they're not, most of them. Are they, Lena girl?
No, they're not.
You've been working in London?
A few months of it. That's enough. Timber trade. Did you ever hear of a street called Angel Pavement?
Can't say I ever did. Meet any angels there?
I met somebody who was very much like one. I decided I'd better get out before I started corrupting angels. I feel sorry for those poor people back there.
All I'm sorry for right now is myself. Tom, I had a bit of dinner.
I will join you below.
Right, Shaw. Well, nice to have met you.
Turning a bit chilly, girl.
I only hope there'll be somebody interesting aboard this ship.
Oh, you'll find someone to flirt with. Always do. Better have your last look at London.
Nothing to see. Nothing worth looking at.
Looks like it's all going up in smoke, doesn't it? And the sun's going, too. Well, that's that. Come on, girl. Let's go below.
Have been listening to Angel Pavement, an NBC theater production of the novel by J.B. Priestley. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a dramatization of Howard's End by E.M. Forster, and the following week for a radio version of Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf. Angel Pavement was adapted for the NBC Theater by Brainerd Duffield and Emerson Crocker. Our intermission commentator was John Kieran, whose commentary was recorded. In today's cast, Gilbert Fry was the captain, Herbert Rawlinson was Goldsby, George Pembroke was Mr. Smith, Constance Cavendish was Miss Matfield, Hugh Thomas was Turgis, Ben Wright was Mr. Dursingham, Virginia McDowell was Miss Morrison, Monty Margetts was Mrs. Smith, Pamela Henderson was Edna, Queenie Leonard was Mrs. Dursingham, and Naomi Stevens was Lena. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Later today, you'll hear the laugh-packed Phil Harris, Alice Faye show and the exciting adventures of Sam Spade. You'll enjoy a fun-filled half hour with Phil, Alice, Julius, and Frankie, and then you'll want to stay tuned for further entertainment during Sam Spade's latest caper. Both these great shows are yours for the dialing today on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.